You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today we're wrapping up our Next Level Relationship Series. We've been talking about relationships for the past 6 weeks, talking about taking our relationships to the next level, getting healthier, getting stronger, getting better. Has this series helped anybody out? Have you enjoyed this? I know it's been good for me. I hope you're putting some of these principles into practice and you're seeing your relationships get stronger. And we have covered a lot of ground the past few weeks. We've talked about how to work through conflict and overcoming offense and how to be better friends. And we've talked about communication and forgiveness. And today we're going to land the plane. We're going to wrap up this series by talking about reconciliation. This idea of seeing broken relationships be restored. I think this is a beautiful way for us to wrap up our series. It's kind of the culmination of everything we've learned, how to see peace come into our fractured relationships. Now, the Catholic Church still practices the rite of peace. Some of you come from a Catholic or more liturgical background, right? And what happens during the Mass, the priest will say, turn to someone and give them the sign of peace, right? Are you familiar with this? And, you know, I grew up Pentecostal, very kind of low church, not very liturgical. So years ago, I was in a Mass for something one time, and the priest said, turn to someone and give the sign of peace. And I was like, yo, peace. Peace out, baby. Good to see you. And then everybody started shaking hands, and I realized I better, like, get with the program. But this sign of peace thing, it represents that God has not only reconciled his relationship with us, but he's made it possible for us to experience reconciliation with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So turn around and give two or three people the sign of peace. Shake someone's hand. Go ahead, do that. That's the way, it's the proper way of doing it. Don't just throw the deuces at somebody. Actually shake somebody's hand. All right. So today we want to talk about the handshake of peace, the handshake of peace. And here's the question. What do we do with a relationship that is presently broken, where things seem irreconcilable? Maybe a situation where there's been, you know, gossip and there's been lying and there's been betrayal. Maybe there's been a bad business deal, like trust has been broken with a friend, with a family member, with a coworker, with a business partner. And here's the question for us. Here's the question for us this morning. Are we able, as the people of God, as followers of Jesus Christ, are we able to experience reconciliation, restoration coming into our broken and fractured relationships? Are we able, as the people of God, to experience that? Because this is a step beyond forgiveness. Last week we talked about forgiveness. And if you remember, the biblical idea of forgiveness is release, right? It's to release the person from the offense. It's to release the offender. It's to release, so to speak, the debt that someone has incurred against you. That's what we talked about last week. But reconciliation goes a step beyond that. Reconciliation is about the restoring of a broken relationship. So you can experience forgiveness without reconciliation, but you can't experience reconciliation without forgiveness. It's a step beyond forgiveness in which we actually repair the relationship. And so here's our key verse for this morning. It comes from Romans chapter 12, verse 18. This is a verse that we looked at a few weeks ago. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul in previous chapters, he's been unpacking the gospel in his letter to the Romans. He gets to chapter 12 and he begins to teach the Romans and us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit how we should live, how we should treat each other in light of the gospel, of what Christ has done for us. And this is what he says, Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Come on, read that with me again out loud this morning. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. See, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you call yourself a Christian, then it's God's hope that you would actually be able to find a way to live at peace with everyone. That's God's desire for you. That's God's will for you. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now, like, Pastor Jeremy, that's impossible. Like, that is impossible. Like, you don't understand what my ex-husband is like, right? You don't understand what that person said about me, did to me. You don't know what fill in the blank whoever is like. I get it. It seems impossible. It may seem impossible to you and me, but I got good news for you. With God, all things are possible. How many of you know that's true? With God, all things are possible. And I want to just give you a few examples to build your faith today of what seemed like impossible reconciliation that happened. We have a few pictures for you this morning. Here's the first picture. The first picture is Nelson Mandela with F.W. de Klerk. Many of you know who Nelson Mandela is, first African president of South Africa, first black president of South Africa, who spent many years in jail. He was a symbol of freedom for the oppressed people in South Africa. And he's shaking hands there with F.W. de Klerk, who was the last white president under the old apartheid system, which systematically repressed black people in that country. And nobody ever thought that handshake right there would be possible, that handoff, that peaceful handoff of government would be possible, especially after Nelson Mandela spending 27 years in prison. But it became possible. Here's another picture for you. This is a picture from the Oslo Accords. Of course, there's President Bill Clinton, and he's standing between the Prime Minister of Israel at the time, Yitzhak Rabin, and Yasser Arafat. Yasser Arafat of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, PLO, and, you know, historic accords in which the state of Israel recognized the PLO as a legitimate representative of the Palestinian people. We all know there's been years and years of conflict still going to this day in the Middle East, but that seemed like an impossible handshake that became possible. I have one more handshake of peace for you this morning that seemed impossible, but God made a way for it to be possible. And it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to this earth to make a handshake of peace between God the Father and broken humanity. The cross is the place where God Almighty made peace with humanity. How many of you know that's true? The cross was the place where God Almighty brokered a peace deal between God the Father and sinful and broken humanity. And the terms of the deal were this: my son for you, because I want peace with you. This was God's handshake of peace. I'm going to give you my son. Jesus went to the cross, and here are the terms of the deal. I'm giving you my one and only precious, sinless son for you, because I want peace with you. And this is the greatest handshake of peace the world has ever seen. Now, some of you might say, well, why did God have to have peace with me? I mean, I'm a pretty nice person, Pastor Jeremy. I'm pretty easy to get along with. That's kind of hard for me to, you know, to think about. Like, God would have to find peace with me. Well, can I tell you that the scripture says that every one of us, as good a person as you are, as nice as you are, every one of us, we have a fallen, sinful nature. Every one of us has sinned against a holy and righteous God, and God can have nothing to do with our sinfulness. So our sin creates a distance between us and God the Father. Our sin, it creates a tension between us and God the Father. In fact, the book of Romans talks about how we're under the curse of sin. We're under the wrath of God because of the curse of sin. But Jesus Christ, because God is a loving God, because God wasn't willing to leave things that way, God sent his very own son. The Son of God stepped out of the riches of heaven, took on flesh and blood, came to this planet, lived a perfect life on our behalf, the life we could have never lived, went to the cross for our sins, so to pay for our sins, and was resurrected so that you and me could experience eternal life. And his sacrifice was the payment for our sin. It was the payment for our peace. And so this is the greatest handshake of peace the world has ever seen. And this is what gives shape to our mission as followers of Christ to live at peace with everyone. How can we do it? Because of what God did for us. Because of the example of the cross. Because of how that's changed our lives. It makes it possible for you and me to live at peace, especially in the midst of our broken relationships. I want to give you three principles this morning that we need to live by in order to be peacemakers. I want to invite you to take some notes today. When you came in, you should receive some note sheets, or take out the Redemption app. There's a spot on there where you can take down some notes this morning. If you don't have the app, you can get it at our website. But three principles that we need to live by in order to be peacemakers. Here's the first one. Number one, the cross. Here's what you have to know. The cross is the template by which reconciliation happens in our relationships. Let me say that to you again, because I want that to sink in this morning. How is this possible? Number one, if we're gonna be those who pursue peace, if we're gonna be those who see reconciliation coming into our relationships, broken relationships restored, if we're gonna be peacemakers, number one, you have to know beyond the shadow of a doubt, you have to have a conviction that the cross is the template by which reconciliation happens in our relationships. Well, this is what we've been talking about for the past 6 weeks, right? Quite often I've mentioned that we've got to get the gospel into our relationships. This is all about our revelation of God's grace, our revelation of what God has done for us through his son, his forgiveness. We have to get that into our relationships. It's not just something that happened between us and God the Father. It's something that has to get into our hearts and make a difference in our relationships. We are talking about the relational outworking of an inward reality. Something has happened. Our hearts have been changed. God has won us over by his love, his active love in sending his son to the cross to give his life for us and restore our relationship with him. And so we want to see an outward relational outworking of this new inner reality that we have on the inside of us. You might say that we've experienced a vertical reconciliation, right? Between us and God the Father. Jesus Christ came and made a way for us to be restored to God the Father. So we've experienced a vertical reconciliation, but it doesn't stop there. There's another work beyond that that God wants to do in your heart through his son. And that is that you would experience a horizontal reconciliation with the people around you. Did you know the gospel is powerful? It's more powerful than you just get a ticket to go to heaven one day. The gospel is powerful enough to restore broken relationships. The gospel is powerful enough to tear down walls and barriers that keep people from each other. I'm talking about racial reconciliation. I'm talking about God the Father bringing people together from different places, different camps who would have never been together. That's a work that God wants to do. He wants to break down walls that separate us, walls of hurt, walls of judgment, walls of favoritism, all of these different things. God wants to break those things down so that we experience a horizontal reconciliation. And let's zoom out a little bit and look at the full context of our main verse today. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. The Apostle Paul writes this. We looked at these verses a few weeks ago. He says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge.'" God is the righteous judge, right? We can leave it in his hands. "And I will repay, says the Lord." Verse 20, "On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him." You might say, "I wouldn't really want to do that, Pastor." "If he is thirsty, give him something to drink." "I don't want to do that, Pastor." "In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head." "That sounds pretty good, Pastor. I can do that." Verse 21, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, that little phrase about heaping burning coals is a Jewish expression that doesn't really translate so well into modern times. What it actually means is you could live your life so well, so full of grace, so full of mercy, you could so exemplify Jesus to even your enemy that you might cause them to come to repentance. That's how powerful your witness is. And so here's the million-dollar question today, right? How is this possible? How is reconciliation possible after what they did to me? Like my dad was gone from my life all those years and then he just shows back up and wants a relationship now. That person was, that person did what they did to me. They walked out of my life and now they've just walked back into my life and they want to have a relationship again. Like nothing even happened. Like, I don't even know where to start. How does that happen? How does this work? What does that look like? I'm just supposed to reconcile with them, Pastor? And I get it. I get it. There's nothing natural or easy about this. And the only way that God could call us to reconciliation is because of the template of the cross. Now, we all know what a template is, right? A template is a pattern that you follow, right? Let's say you might want to write a new resume. You might download a template that'll help you write your resume. I grew up with my dad doing a lot of woodworking. My dad's a pastor by career, but a carpenter by trade. And every now and then, if we were making the same cut over and over again, we would build what's called a jig. And if you're familiar with this, if you've ever done any woodworking, a jig, it helps guide you so that you don't have to keep measuring over and over again. It's something that helps, get the wood exactly where you want it to be. It's a pattern, right? Because you're making something, you're building something, instead of doing the same measurement over and over again, the jig is kind of, it foolproofs the process. It's a pattern that you can follow. And the only reason you and I can experience this healing coming into our relationships is we have a pattern to follow. We have a pattern, and it's the template of the cross. Now, you have to remember the context of Romans chapter 12. I said before, it's all about the Apostle Paul unpacking the gospel and talking about how that relates to our relationships. And in fact, at the very beginning of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy..." in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your act of worship. So the whole chapter, everything we're learning about today, it's under this context of in view of God's mercy. In light of all that God has done for you, Paul says, look, I took 11 chapters to explain God's grace, God's love, God's mercy. In light of all that, here's how you should live. And so the only way it's possible for us is in light of God's mercy. In light of what he's done for us, we have a pattern to follow. And so here's the thing. We walk into this process knowing the template of the cross, knowing the pattern of the cross, that reconciliation is only possible because of what Christ has done for us, because of the peace that he's attained for us, because God made peace with humanity when we were far from him. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we walk into the process with whatever the situation is, whoever we're dealing with, however difficult they are, whatever they said, whatever they did, we come into the conversation knowing, coming into the process knowing, God, if you made peace with me, you can make peace with anybody. Come on, let's be honest. Because we're all aware of our failures and our sins and our past, and we know how much we need the grace of God. So we come into the process with the sense of, God, if you made peace with me, you can make peace with anybody. And so, God, I want to follow your pattern. I want to follow your example. I want to follow the template of the cross. I see how you made peace with broken humanity. I see how, God, you went out of your way to make peace with me. And God, I really wouldn't know how to do this on my own, but I'm going to follow the pattern that's been established for me. Is this helping anybody this morning? That's the first thing. You have to get this in your heart. It's the cross that makes this possible. Here's the second thing, okay? We're talking about becoming peacemakers. Number two, as Christians, we are the people who seek the possibility of peace. We are the people who seek the possibility of peace. Let's look at our key verse one more time. We're going to just drill down and get this in our hearts, okay? If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, everybody point to yourself. You're talking to yourself today. As far as it depends on you, okay, live at peace with everyone. The Apostle Paul was writing this to the Romans, to the church at Rome, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is for you and me today in modern times. So when he says you, he's talking to you and me. The Holy Spirit is taking this verse and applying it to us, okay? So as Christians, we are the people who seek the possibility of peace. Now, how many of you know it's not natural for people to seek out reconciliation? Come on, somebody curses at you, somebody cheats you, somebody hurts you. Like, your natural inclination is, let me just run to that person and let's just make up as soon as possible. Is that natural for any of you? That is not the way humanity works, right? Come on, this is New York, let's keep it real. This is not the way, like, we're wired, right? But this is what God is calling us to, and that's why God is calling you and me to lead the way. Let me just give you an example, unless you're feeling really spiritual this morning and feeling like it's within your capacity and you just got this. Now, let's say you were going to the mall one day to go shopping, and you the parking lot was really full, but there was the perfect parking spot. Somebody was pulling out of that spot, and you pulled up, and you put your blinker on, and you were going to get that spot, right? And right as you were getting ready to pull into that spot, when the other person was pulling out, some jerk comes whipping around the corner and just cuts right in ahead of you and takes that parking spot. You can imagine that scenario, right? Now, what if God were to appear to you at that moment and say, I'm going to give you two options. I can bless you with a better parking spot, or I can give that jerk a flat tire. Which one are you going to pick? I don't know about you. I'm going with the flat tire every time. God, I can walk. I'll park way in the back, God, because I can't wait to walk past and see that flat tire. Oh, I know you're more spiritual than me, but give me the flat tire every time. Come on, somebody. That is the way we're naturally wired, right? That is humanity's disposition. And most of the time, we don't want to go out of our way to fix things with people, right? It's them. It always, you know, they have the problem and we don't really want to go out of our way. And we'd say, oh no, I tried, Pastor. You know, I told them we could fix things. If they would just get on a plane and fly into town and stay in a hotel and drive over to my house, sure, we could work it out. I'm willing to meet with them, sure. You know, if they'll just go 9/10 of a mile to meet me, sure, I'll go 1/10 of a mile to meet them. I mean, I said, like, you know, 7 years ago, why don't we get together sometime and talk about it? Sure, I'm willing to work it out, right? But here's the truth. It's not natural for us to want reconciliation. But here's the reality. You and me, we're not natural. There's nothing natural about us anymore. We're supernatural because we are now dead to our sin and alive through Christ, right? Something supernatural has happened on the inside of you and me that's changed us. No, it's not natural to want reconciliation or to pursue restoration of a broken relationship, especially with somebody that we're still upset with. But the good news is that Christ has done a supernatural work in you, and the life that you live by faith through the Son of God. Look at this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. There's a new you. Verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's how it's possible. Because you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're not the same old person. You're not like everybody else. You don't live according to the pattern of this world. There's a supernatural work that's happened in you that now enables you to be who God has called you to be. Not only have you experienced reconciliation with God the Father, but you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Some of you might say, well, Pastor Jeremy, I didn't sign up for that. Guess what? The very moment you received Jesus Christ to reconcile you with God the Father, you were called into the reconciliation ministry. Congratulations, you're in. You're in. You signed up. You should have checked the fine print because now God the Father has called you to do what he did for you. And so this isn't one. And no, you can't opt out, by the way. No, there's no opt out clause. We've been given this ministry of reconciliation. And so our new nature, the way we're now wired now, is that we seek the possibility of peace. That's our new predisposition. That's our new predisposition. That's our new wiring. We seek the possibility of peace. See, here's the thing. Jesus knew that humanity in its brokenness, in its sinfulness, in its distance from God. He knew that many people wouldn't pursue peace with God, even though God the Father, his heart, all through scripture, really from the Old Testament all the way right up to from Genesis to Revelation, it's the story of a God who wants to redeem his relationship with broken humanity. And all throughout the Bible, we see so many instances where humanity didn't want to take God up on the offer. This is just reality. We see that all, especially with the people of Israel in the Old Testament, we see so many cases where people didn't, you know, they didn't pursue the peace that God was offering. They didn't reach out to receive, you know, the terms, the generous and gracious terms that God was giving them. Jesus understood that people would not necessarily pursue God's offer of peace. They wouldn't accept the deal. And so he took it upon himself. He took it upon himself and he basically lived this verse. He embodied this verse. As far as it depends on me, I'm going to make peace with humanity. I am going to step out of the riches of heaven. I am going to limit myself to time and space. I'm going to come down to this planet, be born of a virgin as flesh and blood, live among these people because as far as it's possible, as far as it depends on me, I am going to make peace with humanity. And Jesus calls you and me as his followers to do likewise, to do exactly as he has done. He wants you and me to reflect this. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ today, you're off the hook today. You get to sit back and just sit on, you know, sit back and take notes on what do these Christians believe. If you're a follower of Christ, this is how we're called to live. And here's the deal. Paul writes this in a way so that this verse lands on us and not them, right? As far as it depends on you, as far as it depends on me, this verse lands on us, not the other person. Because you're the one who has the supernatural power of Jesus working through you. Come on, our disposition is always them. If they would just get their act together, if they would just see my point of view, if they would just stop doing that thing they did, Pastor Jeremy, if you only knew what they were like, how hard they were, you know, they're difficult. They. No. Paul flips around and says, you're the one with the supernatural power of Jesus Christ flowing through you. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You've experienced the gospel. You no longer live according to the pattern of this world. You've been reconciled to God the Father and given the ministry of reconciliation. So now it doesn't really matter how poor their behavior is. This verse lands on you and me. I know this isn't fun this morning, church. I'm just giving it to you straight because sometimes you got to hear it because this is the only way we grow. Because our natural disposition is we don't want to do this. We didn't read the fine print. We like to skip past this part, but God wants to do a work in you and me. And if we would live this way, oh, it would reveal the glory of God to the world around us. It would change. It would change your life. It would change the witness of the church. So think about, just look at how far Jesus went out of his way so that God the Father could make peace with you. And yet we struggle to do anything that's even a tad bit inconvenient to go out of our way to restore a broken relationship with someone. No. It's as far as it depends on you, right? God is calling us. We are the people who seek the possibility of peace. It just defines who we are as Christians. Here's the third thing. We talking about some principles that we need to embrace in order to become peacemakers. The third thing is this: the Holy Spirit is the agent of peace in our lives. This is where I'm going to give you some hope this morning. This is the good news. The Holy Spirit is the agent of peace in our lives. See, the Holy Spirit is the one. He is the one who gives us the power that makes it possible for reconciliation to come into our shattered relationships. How many of you know we would be in trouble if we were just left to our own to do this? We would be in a lot of trouble if we were just left to our human nature to do this on our own. Let me give you an example. Have you ever tried to, I don't know, maybe you've had an argument with somebody, a loved one, friend, coworker, whoever. Have you ever actually tried to go make peace and under your own efforts, you fouled it up and you ended up having an argument that was worse than the very first one? Like you went to make peace and you found yourself fighting again. Has it ever happened again? Oh, you guys are amazingly spiritual. You're more spiritual than me. I'm so impressed by you. That's awesome. Yeah, this has probably happened to all of us. I mean, I'll give you an example. You know, every now and then, me and my amazing, beautiful, wonderful, talented wife, we have an argument every now and then. You know, I haven't seen the light yet to realize she's right. And we have an argument, you know, and we're smart enough to give each other some space. And I go my way, she goes her way. And I pray and I give her some distance and she prays. And we calm down, you know. And later on, I try to circle back and I go to her and I apologize, right? Like, honey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to quite say it that way. It came out the wrong way. And I don't want to start the day off this way, you know. And I took some time to pray about it. And I'm really sorry. And how many of you know I would be smart if I just shut up and stop right there? But here's what usually happens. This happens quite often. I'm sorry, but. Come on, that's a big but. Yeah, metaphorically. Come on, that word but gets us in trouble. But what I was really trying to say was, and then I open my mouth, right? And what happens is sometimes me going back to make peace leads to an even bigger argument that was worse than the first one. This is what happens under our own ability, right? It's like, man, we struggle with this. But the good news is the Holy Spirit is the one who makes this possible. The only possibility for us to experience restoration in the midst of our broken and shattered relationships is the power of the Holy Spirit operating on the inside of us. And so the good news is when you came to faith in Jesus Christ, okay, you signed up for the ministry of reconciliation, whether you knew it or not. But the good news is you also got the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's the one who drew you to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in the first place. So you have the Holy Spirit working inside of you to help you do what Jesus has called you to do, to be who he's called you to be. Now, in Luke chapter 1, we read about the birth of Christ. Usually at Christmas time, we read this story of how the angel Gabriel appeared to the Virgin Mary, right? And he announced this good news to this young woman, this young virgin Mary, that, hey, you have found favor with God and you're gonna give birth to the one who's gonna be the Messiah, the promised one, the promised king, you know, who's gonna rule and reign over your people, you know, the king to end all kings. And Mary says, like, how is this possible? I'm only a virgin, right? And what does the angel Gabriel say? The Holy Spirit is gonna come upon you and the power of God is gonna overshadow you so that this child you're gonna give birth to is gonna be the Son of God. This is the Annunciation, right? In fact, this past fall, I was in Israel. I got to go to Nazareth and see the Church of the Annunciation. They believe it's somewhere close on the premises was where actually Mary lived. And it's an amazing thing, isn't it? But think about this. In God's handshake of peace with the world, God the Father brokered the peace deal with humanity. And Jesus Christ the Son was the peace offering. But the Holy Spirit is the one who birthed the peace process. The Holy Spirit is the one who birthed the peace plan. I've got good news for you this morning, church. The same Spirit of God who birthed the Prince of Peace is going to birth the process of peace so that you can experience reconciliation and restoration in your broken relationships. The Holy Spirit is wanting to birth the peace process in your heart, in your life, to make possible what was before impossible. Come on, everything about this Christian life is supernatural. Everything about this Christian life is what was impossible. You and me having a relationship with a holy God is now made possible because of Jesus Christ. Reconciliation with the Father. And so now when we work that out in our relationships, what was previously impossible for us to experience peace with broken humanity, with our difficult neighbors and coworkers and friends and family members, with all of the skeletons that we have in the closets and everybody else's hangups, now what was impossible is possible because of what the Holy Spirit has done. Because of what the Holy Spirit has done. And so this is where you're going to find the power to do it. And so our prayer becomes, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to do this in me. you're going to have to do something in me that I could never do for myself. I want this relationship to be restored more than I want to be right. Come on, are you with me this morning? More than I want to be right. More than I want my points to be to get across. More than I want them to pay for what they did. I want this relationship, if it is possible, to be restored. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to do a work in my life, in my heart, that's supernatural. I'm gonna just tell you this morning, church, that the peace deal that God made with you and me and with humanity, that's what empowers us to experience peace with other people. That's how it's possible this morning. And this morning, I wanna just be honest with you. Sometimes you can't fully experience reconciliation. It takes two people to experience the handshake of peace. But let's be honest and acknowledge today, sometimes the other person won't extend the hand back to you. You've extended the hand. Sometimes the other person won't extend their hand for the handshake of peace. And we have to recognize that we can't control that. In fact, there are some people you need to forgive them and you need to release them from the debt, but you have to love them from a distance. Right? There are some people who are toxic in your life. You have to love them from a distance. If this is an abuser we're talking about, you need to forgive them, but you have to remain safe. There has to be a boundary there so that you can forgive them. So there are some difficulties when it comes to reconciliation. We can't always get the other person to extend the hand, and it's not always safe to do so. But I want you to know, because of the help of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you can make a peace treaty with you. With yourself, in your heart. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be free. You can retire from retaliation. You can retire from the need to get back. You can have a ceasefire. You can have peace in your heart toward them. Some people, it's not possible right now for you to have peace with them, but you can have peace in your heart toward them. And it lifts a burden off of your chest, off of your heart, off of your life, because as far as it depends on you, you've done what you can do to live at peace with everyone. You can't change them, but as far as it depends on me, I want to know, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I did everything that I could possibly do to extend the hand to be the person Jesus called me to be. And I'll tell you, it'll bring peace to your heart. You can sleep well at night. Whatever happens at the end of the day, you can say, it is well with my soul. Because God, as far as it depends on me, I'm going to live at peace with everyone. And the blessing of God will come upon your life. And you will experience the peace, the wholeness of God in your heart. And I believe if you can get a hold of this, you'll experience it in your relationships. I want to pray for you this morning. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. And I'm going to pray. We're going to do something special today. We did this a few weeks back. We don't really have altars here in our movie theater, but we're going to open up this front row, right where Pastor Jim's standing right now, for you to come down and pray in just a moment. We're going to close in prayer, but the worship team is going to play an extended worship set. And if you need prayer this morning, our prayer team is going to be available across this aisle here. We just want to invite you to come down. Maybe this series on relationships has really spoken to you, spoken through a need or something you're working through. I think we're all working through something when it comes to relationships. Maybe there's a need in your life today, a financial need, a health need, a need in your marriage, a need in your family, a need for a job. I don't know what your need is, but we want to just take a few minutes this morning to pray with you. So our team's available. And our worship team's gonna give us a little extended time this morning. But I wanna pray for you first. And then we would just wanna invite you to come down and join us in prayer this morning. If you wanna agree with a team member, we would love to pray for you. Let me pray for you this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for the last few weeks that we've had to explore the depths of your love and your grace and your mercy over our lives and how that can impact our relationships. How that can give us the ability to experience healing and wholeness in our relationships. And Lord, my prayer today is that once again, the gospel will become real for us. Father, if there's anybody in this place today who doesn't know you, who feels far from you, who doesn't know what it means to have a personal relationship with you, that they would just say, Jesus, I give you my yes today. I invite you into my life. Maybe somebody needs to pray that for the first time in a long time. Lord, we just invite you into our heart all over again. We confess our sins. God, make your grace real to us. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to do a work in us today. Some of you need to pray this with me. Holy Spirit, we invite you to birth the peace plan, to birth the peace process in our hearts today. God, we just acknowledge today that we have limitations in our own human ability, and we'll mess this up on our own. But Holy Spirit, we're asking you to do something in us that we could never do on our own, that we would see peace, healing, and restoration coming into our broken relationships. Lord, do a work in us. Lord, we choose to forgive, once again, to release the offense and the offender. And now we pray, Holy Spirit, would you fill us with your peace so that we can say, as far as it depends on me, I'm going to live in peace with that person who hurt me. Father, we do it in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, would you say amen? Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.